Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, good morning, and thank you for joining me today. What a time it is in the energy field. I was just talking with Rebecca, my producer, about the fact that the energy has just been bouncing around like a ping pong ball, and it actually settled down about 3 o'clock yesterday morning, and it's going to bounce around a little bit more, kind of like a quiver, as I call it. And then after January 25th, things ought to start settling in. And people always say to me, Carol, what does that mean? Well, it just means that you'll start getting comfortable in your skin again, and that's really what this is all about, is learning how to embody your soul in your physical world so it can bring expression. Well, that's a sneak preview of what today's show is going to be about. Thanks again for joining me. I'm going to be sharing some of the channeling that I have asked for around 2010 or 2010, because this is the year of resolve. And so throughout the show, I'm going to be talking about some of the things that the guides share with me as far as like code words. And then I'm going to be sharing the mantra and the theme for 2010. As I'm going to give you a sneak preview again, it's like, in 2010, don't do it again. And what they're really saying is that it's time for us to finally reach the closure that we've been asking for on many, many different levels in our life. And if you, I'm going to be sharing snippets of this channeling, but if you decide that you would like to receive the channeling in its full blown written form, I'm hoping to have that out in the next week or two. You can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Go back to the contact page. You'll see it on my homepage, contact, push on it, click on it, and go in and fill out the form. And then I'll see that when I send it out, you'll be one that will also get it. So many times what I do is I'll actually, what I call, download the information. And I need to just say, in all honesty, it really is all about me when I first start the process. I start the channelings about November, and I always kind of do that 911 call to my guides, and I say, hey, listen, what's up? It seems like I'm seeing a lot of patterns in people, a lot of things that are going on. Is this a sneak preview for what's going to happen the next year? And they will literally start the process of sharing information and offering insight, of course, for myself, but also as my role as a person, what I call a self-remembering master. My job in this lifetime is to help you remember that you're more than your physical body, that your energy, your light, your love, and that you are really driven by your soul and not necessarily by the demands in your outside world, just the way it seems. So when I ask for this, all the information comes in, and it basically is for me to be able to embody in my own personal life, and then also to be able to share with others. So that's what I'm going to be doing today, is I'm going to be sharing some snippets of that, kind of like I call that sneak preview. I'm also going to be taking your calls, and if you have a question for me about your health, or maybe you have a question in general, you can call me at 877-230-3062 or 425-644-5620. When I went in and I asked the guides to be able to offer some insight as far as the year, one of the things that they said, and there's always kind of a theme for each year, and one of the things that the guide said is 2010 is the year of resolve. And many times I had asked about that. Many times in our humanists, we think resolve means just letting go. And letting go is really the process of getting resolution. And one of the things that was also shared is the resolve. When we resolve something, it's really a three-step process. And that three-step process is, in resolve, is we have to, first of all, resolve. And what that means is, it means that we have to be willing to go back and visit things in our life, or relationships in our life, maybe unfinished tasks, things that just basically are draining us of energy. They're not working. Maybe they're lingering somewhere in the archives deep within our mind that's undermining our personal power or eroding our self-confidence. But in this time that we're in right now, it's all about going in and looking at the unfinished business that we have in our lives. And that unfinished business can be unfinished tasks. My goodness, I've got a laundry list. I talk to a lot of people who have a laundry list also. Looking at the unfinished tasks that we have that are just kind of eroding our mental well-being because they're always looming in the back of our mind that we're not getting it done. When are we going to get around to it? There's the unfinished business, meaning that there's things that maybe we've been procrastinating around that just needs to be done. That can be, you know, having a conversation with someone or cleaning up our bank accounts or revisiting how we work with money or how we work with interacting with other people. And then also a lot of unresolved issues with relationships. So the first step in the process of finally getting the closure and finalization, which is what resolve really is all about, means that we have to go back and we have to be willing to revisit our past and revisit our past in a way that the intention is not to have to relive it, but to use it as a catalyst to be able to move us forward. And so many times we get caught up in the emotionalism of the past that we forget that the objective is to truly move ourselves forward and to get resolve. Once we find something that we really feel deep inside, or we know deep inside that we need to change once and for all. Let's just get it off the plate. Been there, done that. Don't want to do it again. Then what we do is we move into a process called resolution. And that's an action. It's actually a verb. It's an active process where we take what we've identified that needs to change. We actually put the steps in place for change to happen, and we live and make those changes happen every day. And sometimes it's a very quick process, sometimes it isn't. It just depends on the emotional history that's attached to the experience itself. So sometimes we go in and we get into that resolution, and we always set New Year's resolutions. I mean, it seems to be a part of us as our humanness when we enter into the new year. It's like, okay, I'm going to resolve to lose weight. I'm going to resolve to get my finances in order. I'm going to resolve to, save more money or find Mr. or Ms. Right, whatever it may be. And we set that intention in place, and we set the mind in place through a resolution that this is what I'm going to accomplish in this year. There's a tremendous amount of hope that is really charged around that resolution process. What occurs is sometimes we get into the process and we realize it's not going to work. And it isn't that it doesn't work really because we don't want it to. It may be that in that resolve process, when we were looking for all the options we had, maybe we didn't stay in that resolve, revisiting it long enough to really find something that we can actually bring to completion. Maybe we didn't allow ourselves the time to find enough options and to find maybe that one option that really we can glom onto and basically be able to fulfill. So resolution is taking the steps. It's taking the steps every day. It's being mindful of it. It's revisiting it every morning to say, today I resolve to let go of this. And then during the day, take the steps. At night, going in and going, okay, where am I? And resolution is kind of like taking that pulse check. It's like that, those benchmarks along the path of life is, where am I? Did I move forward the way that I desire? Did I move forward? We always move forward. Our mind will come in and go, oh yeah, you moved a little bit, but not very much. That's what we're trying to resolve as much as everything else. Once we take those steps and it becomes a process and we start to get those subtle situations that say, whoo, this is really working, meaning, first of all, we get comfortable in our skin, then what we do is then we start getting those small, subtle accomplishments. And then that builds in that resolution process. And then it's almost as if one day it's just done. There's a calm about it. There's a peacefulness about it. There is a place that we want to give ourselves high fives and a box of gold stars. We're not maybe as cognizant or mindful that we've reached there, but inside our body and our souls, and they're going, woo, good job, good job. And the body's in there going, woo, this feels good. I'm in my skin. The mind goes, so what just happened? And then we start going in, and then we refine. So when we look at resolve. We have to resolve, revisit. We have to take action. We have to be persistent. We have to pursue. We have to get the resolve that we're looking for. Final, been there, done that, finish, fini, whatever we want to call it. And then the cycle starts over again. Our human mind wants it to be done and finalized for all the time. And that particular part is, but there's much more to what meets beyond the surface. And it's kind of like that iceberg. You can see the iceberg at the top of the surface, but you have to be able to look below the surface. And that's what resolve is really all about. That's what the energy of 2010 or 2010 is all about. It's about saying, this year, I am going to do this. And again, your personality has a lot to do with it. For greens, it may be, I need to speak my truth. And maybe when you do that, you're going to rehearse it in your mind 20 different times. You're going to look at it. You're going to see how's this going to feel. What's it going to do? That's okay. That's part of the resolution. And then when you reach a place where you know it is right for you, and I'm going to go into a little more detail about what does it mean right for you. When it's right for you and you say it with a compassionate heart. Yes, the delivery may seem to the people that are listening to it, wow, what just happened to this person? That was really straightforward, rather blunt, kind of hurt my feelings. But for you, it was right. And in doing that, it's like taking this huge burden off of your shoulders, and then it'll get rid of the shoulder pain. It'll get rid of the neck pain. Your jaw won't be so tight, or you're talking through your teeth. Whatever it may be, you just feel good about it. So, what is right for you? I asked the guides about that. I said, gosh, you know, with everything that's going on in that world, in the world, does that mean not having a conscience? And it said, absolutely not. And I said, well, you know, we have to be sensitive of other people's feelings. Absolutely, they say we do. That's part of the gift of our humanness, is to be able to experience the sensitivity in interacting with people. So what they were really saying is that you have, each of us has a specific way that we make a decision. Some of us make decisions, or some of you make decisions based on the decision having to feel right. Anytime you make a decision that doesn't feel right for you, you're compromising yourself. And it creates this inner turmoil, this inner tension that kind of boils like a pot on the stove. And then we think, okay, well, I'm just not going to deal with it right now. So be it. We put it on the back burner. It still continues to simmer and boil. And then at some point in time, it reaches that place where it's going to boil over, as I call it. And then you're going to speak your truth. You're not going to suppress your emotions. So what's right for you if you make decisions based on emotion is always make your decisions based on emotion. Even if someone will say to you, well, what do emotions have to do with this? It doesn't make any difference. You just look them in the face and you say to them, everything, and this doesn't feel right. And even if they say, well, when is it going to feel right? I don't know. But when it does, I'm going to tell you. Now, if you make decisions based on logic, that analytical analysis of things where you have to look at a situation so many different ways and you play out the scenarios in your mind and you have all these conversations and you have to get the ducks in a row and you have to look for the patterns and things, and it has to reach that place where it's like a pinball machine tilt, this is logical, then make decisions that way. There's many of us as females, myself included, that makes decisions logically, that's conditioned to make decisions emotionally. Whenever I go against my logic, it's always the wrong decision for me. And I immediately go in and think, I shouldn't have done that. The same for those of you who make decisions based on emotion. The minute you try to make them logically, because that's what you think you should do instead of what feels right for you, then it creates a problem. And it's that problem and those problems and the buildup of problems that the year of 2010 is saying to us, let's not do that pattern again. Let's stop the process, be authentic, true to ourselves, and then we can move forward in the way that we desire, meaning, and what's right for us, that we can speak our truth and live our truth and be able to be the difference not only in our life but the life of other people. None of us came here to take up space. Every one of us has a purpose. Every one of us has a job to basically do. Maybe the job is with one person or 50 people or 50,000 people or 500,000. That's part part of the exquisiteness of the journey is we never know what that is. And if we don't resolve and visit the old and let go and get finalization, truthfully, our brain has a hard time coming up with new options. So very, very interesting with the message. And I'm going to continue on throughout the show, but I'd like to jump in right now. And I would like to talk to Susan in California. Hi, Susan. Thanks for calling me today.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. How can I help you, sweetie?
I've had problems with fatigue actually for decades. In the last few years, it's gotten much worse. I mean, to the point of becoming debilitating. Nothing ever shows up on the test. So,
One of the things is, frankly, it's not going to show up on the test unless you are in a full-blown episode of it. One of the things I can go in and touching your energy, your immune system, sweetie, from the time you were a little girl, has always had to work overtime in order to function properly. It's almost like I'm getting this sense that there may be some autoimmune issues in a genetic predisposition within your family. And so your immune system, when you were born, instead of being 100%, even when you were, as a baby where the antibodies and the immune system is more heightened, your immune system maybe was 90%. It isn't that it was bad. It just never quite worked as functionally as it needed to in order to keep you in a place where you would be able to fight off viruses or different bacterial infections that you've had throughout your life. As a result, somewhere around 3 or 4 years old, it feels like you became sick. And it almost feels to me like it was a very severe case of the flu. It almost feels like I have a little thing that happened when you were little that just basically went in and hit your immune system with a 2x4. And your immune system at that point in time has always been having to work overtime to operate and function as optimally as it needs to, whether that's 60% or 50% or 100%, it doesn't make any difference. The immune system just has a difficult time being able to sustain itself. My sense is the fatigue is probably the result of something with Epstein-Barr virus. It's a virus that many of us, most of us, frankly, are going to experience in our lifetime. It is a virus that lays dormant in the body when we become too acidic in the chemistry of the body, or we become too fatigued, or we become too stressed where our levels of cortisol increase. Someone that has an immune system that is compromised, whether it's from birth or that genetic predisposition, or maybe they've just been burning the candle at both ends, their immune system works overtime, and that creates this general sense of malaise or this general sense of overall fatigue. When a virus becomes active in the body, it overwhelms the immune system, and then the immune system again has to do double time. And that really, oh, thank you, honey. I could feel a little bit in my throat, and I'm thinking, is this mine? Is this Susan's? And I wanted to cough, and I thank you, my love. You just coughed for me. It is yours. There was a hairball there, darling. We needed to get that out.
Okay. Hang out with cats too often.
Oh, no, we just both have a lot to say. That's what it really comes down to. But anyhow, so what I'm picking up in the general fatigue is that while the body functions the way it needs to, there's always this sense of chemistry imbalance. There's always this predisposition for being acidic in the pH and everything. When all these perfect environments come up, situations come up, too much stress, not enough sleep, hormone changes that we go through, both male and female, certain times of the season, the year seems to be a little more difficult for you. All of these things kind of build up, and then the immune system is kind of like us. Sometimes it wants to pull its hair out and go, enough. I can't do this anymore. Then you start getting that real deep sense of fatigue that you have. The other thing that I am picking up, and I'll pick it up and then I'll give you some insight as to what to do. The other thing that I'm picking up is, it's interesting you would say cats, maybe I built off of that, but there's a lot of things that are going on in your life and you feel kind of, honey, like a cat on a hot tin roof. I've got this anxiousness deep inside of you. And I would like to say that the anxiousness is about what's going on, you know, in your body. But the anxiousness that I'm picking up is, I'm picking up the anxiousness about all the things, the unknown that's going on in your life. And that part of it has got you like you're spinning. My sense is some of the fatigue that you're feeling right now is a result of that. What would be very helpful for you is to create, to make a lifelong commitment to feed your body what it needs in order to keep your immune system healthy. And that means in the rainbow colors, you'll want to do red, orange, yellow, and green. Exactly in that order. Red, fruits and vegetables first, alkaline. Orange, fruits and vegetables first. That is alkaline, full of antioxidants, and then you want to do yellow, fruits and vegetables, again, high in alkaline, and then you want to do the greens. Now, interesting, I would usually say greens first because that the body needs that for to be able to get those red blood cell counts up and to be able, if anybody has a predisposition for anemia. What you're experiencing, sweetie, is not anemia. You are experiencing an immune system that came in challenged. And again, it needs to be looked at every day. Everything you put in your mouth, everything that you say to yourself. I know that sounds like a lot, but just take one area. Do you want to work with food? Feed your immune system. Find yourself a naturopath or a Chinese medicine doctor to be able to go in. Some acupuncture would be able to help you to keep your qi flowing smooth. You feel very compacted to me energetically. That'll put your body into this place of protection. That'll put your immune system working over time. You might want to look at some herbs and some supplements that you could do to help your liver kind of free it up so it can help your immune system. So those are some of the things that I would encourage you to do. The other thing is, and I say this with great love, but I'm going to say anyway, sweetie, you need to get your head on straight. Now, let me tell you what that means. That doesn't mean going into the thinking process like we would hear that. Your head, as I touch you in your skull area, skull basin bowl that we have, I've got your head tipped forward slightly and to the left. And what that's doing is it's putting a lot of pressure on the trapezius muscle and on the mid spine and the lower spine. And my sense is that maybe some of the fatigue that you're feeling also is that your body is always having to work to make you feel like you're standing upright. My sense is I could send you to a craniosacral therapist, but my sense is that an acupuncturist could help you. Do you do acupuncture, hon?
I have in the past. And so, you know, I actually had an extremely severe, I had everything as a child, but I had an extremely severe case of scarlet fever, which left me deaf in one ear. So I compensate, and I have for years to adjust. I tend to lean to that side and crunch up on one side.
Gotcha.
just to be on the phone or things like that.
Yep. Well, okay. So what we want to do is, and thank you for the validation. You know, I kind of sit here in my little studio and all the things, and I'm thinking, whoa, where does this come from? So see, there's resolution for me on this. So thank you, my love. What a great gift you gave me. Okay. So what we want to do, it seems like there's a lot of things that I could tell you, but I really would like to get that immune system happy and healthy. I would like to be able to and maintain that happy and healthy. Alkaline. Edgar Cayce said that is the best thing we can do for our human body is just alkalize it. And then the next thing is, sweetie, why don't you look at revisiting some acupuncture? My sense is it'll get your qi running the way that it needs to. It'll take some of the stress out of the emotions. And then that will help line your spine up. And then that will help drop that, the head, the skull part of it, the brain part of it, actually into the skull bone itself, the bowl. And then that would be able to help you as well. And what you might want to also do is you might want to do some exercises, roll your shoulders forward and back, rotator cuff feels a little tight. So you might want to just look at some movements like that, maybe hands above the head, just stretching very slightly, like you're just going to push any blocked energy up to the universe and you're just going to push and push very easy, very gently, and then take your hands and create this outer sweep from the top of the head out to the top of the head and make this sweep down toward the physical body. And that movement in Qigong will be able to allow you to get a sense of being literally in your body and your head being on straight. And that means that you'll settle right into your skin.
Thank you so much. Could I ask one very brief question?
One more real quick one?
Of Okay. Do you see any problems with my heart? I've been very concerned about that as well.
About your heart?
Yes.
I do not. When I go in, now that's my first impression. Let me go in because you asked me a very specific question. Your heart overall is very healthy. I do pick up a little bit of mitral valve prolapse in the left ventricle valve area. That is something that has been there for a long time. It's probably the result of some of the scarlet fever or what I had even picked up even beyond that, maybe an infection that actually went in and hit the heart. Of course, that's scarlet fever. But what it may, it's something that, is there when you get stressed, you regurgitate blood back down into that left ventricle. That may be why you cough, sweetie. It may be that what you're doing is in the coughing mechanism of you, that you're trying to push any residual blood out of that chamber. So when new blood comes in there, it won't be building up and stuff and creating, you know, either that there's a little slight murmur. I mean, and you'd have to have an echocardiogram to be able to hear it. But there is that little slight bit. But that may be part of what the cough is about, sweetie.
All right. Thank you so much.
It is my pleasure. Thank you so much. And thanks for the validation. Light and love to you. All right. Let's jump in. I've got some other calls to take. I want to talk about the code words. So let's go ahead and go into a commercial break. Stay tuned. I'm going to be right back. I'm going to be sharing those code words and a little bit more about what the guide said about 2010. Stay tuned.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show. For the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Well, welcome back. Today I'm talking about the energy of 2010. You know, that's kind of a debate that I've been noticing that's going on. Do we call it 2010 or 2010? Is this really the beginning of a decade or the ending of a decade? So, you know what? Find what works best for you. I call it 2010, but I'm talking about the energy of 2010 and what the guides are saying to me as far as what we can expect energetically. But the thing they kept saying to me to share with all of you, whether it's the channeling I'm going to do on my website or just on the radio, remember that the universe is there to support you for what you desire. The only thing that we do is we get confused that we don't know what we desire because we carry so much of this different baggage around. And very quickly jumping in, when I was in my near-death experience, in that transitional time, I had the opportunity, my background, I love car washes. So that's where my brain went to try to keep me engaged in the process, keep me in my body so I didn't stay in light. And I remember seeing these forms coming across like this conveyor belt, kind of like you do a car where you put it and hook it up to that belt. And it goes through all these different windows that you can see with the brushes washing it and all the spray stuff. Well, in this particular case, I remember, but it happened about 7-8 years after I had actually come back. I woke up in the middle of the night with a dream, and it was very unsettling because I remember that it felt like as when I was back in transition, and I woke up to make sure that I hadn't died in my sleep, frankly. And I had this dream that was going on. And when I got up, it just kept on going on. And one of the things that the dream was, is I could see forms, humans, going into the transition process where they were shedding their body to go into light. And then they got hooked up to this conveyor belt to go toward the light. I didn't actually see the light, but you could see like it was at the end of a tunnel, like the end of a car wash, because that's where my brain was. And so they would get hooked up on this conveyor belt. They would stand there, and then it would be like the belt would stop. And one of the things I loved as a child was musical chairs. And in the death process, that deep part of the brain that wants us to be able to stay in our body pulls these things up. So here I am, musical chairs. The conveyor belt stops. I could see these forms fall into this bag, and it looked like a big bag that Santa had. Love Santa Claus still, even to this day. And I would see all these things flying out of the bag. And I remember asking the guides that were with me, that said they were there to be with me while I was deciding whether to stay or go. I said to them, "What is that?" And they said, "That is all the stuff we collect as humans that we think are important and we feel so strongly about that we never want to do it again. And we hold on to those throughout our life, and our bag becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. When we transition to light, we realize we really don't need all those emotions. We really don't need all those old past memories that, you know, we said to ourselves, 'I'm never coming back to do this again.' So what we do is we start that cleansing process, and then the belt would start up again, and then we would go in and stop, and we would throw things out that we thought were really important, and the bag would shrink each time. And by the time it got to the other side of the car wash, the tunnel, or the light, whatever people might call it, is there was no bag at all. And I ask about that. And what they said is, if as humans, if we could just let go of the things that we think we have to hang on to that have those strong emotional charges, then it wouldn't take so long or as long for us to be able to live the life we desire. They asked me, "Why do you, as a human, Carol, have to die in order to shed what isn't serving you well?" That's what the energy of 2010 is all about. It's about that shedding process, but not the shedding as much as saying, "I'm done. This is finished. I want to create new. I want to move on." I asked that for about another mantra, and what they said to me is, "Carol, go back and think about when you were in that transition time, and what you want to share with people is next, move on, next, move on." And I asked them, "Well, how are we supposed to do that?" And they shared code words. Code words, words are words. They're very powerful. They have a lot of energy, a lot of charge behind them. We use words to be able to tell people that we feel good and that we feel bad, or that they're hurting our feelings, or that we love them. But when the guides give me code words, those are energetic words that are what are called non-attached words, meaning that we're engaged in the word, but the outcome we don't have to control. They're benign words. They're unconditional words. They're words that have tremendous amount of hope and compassion and love and desire and creativity, all the things that we're really looking for. So here are the three code words for us as humans to carry, and that's how they call us, you humans, to carry with us as we go through 2010. The first code word is prudent. Prudent means be cautious, be careful, be wise. Listen to your own inner counsel rather than listening to others. Use others to gather information, to see how they feel about things, and to gather what they know. But when it comes down to being prudent, let your own what's right for you, that decision-making process, be the final decision maker. If we aren't cautious, we will leave ourselves vulnerable to other people's thinking. If we aren't careful, we may put ourselves in a place where we know deep within the essence of who we are, this will not work for us. Maybe we're trying to please someone. Maybe we don't want to create a problem. Maybe we just plain don't know what's best. be prudent, wise, follow your own counsel. The next word they said is persist. When it is right for you, if you make decisions that it feels right, when it is right for you, or it's logical, or it is what you know, persist. Don't give up. Because what will happen is, in that resolution, in that persistence, then you will find creative ways for you to manifest what you truly desire. I say truly desire. We have so many desires that take up so much mental space in us that are desires that we think we should have because other people may have them, or maybe advertising says we need them, or whatever it may be. The truth is, persist in what you believe in, what is right for you. Don't give up. I always think of Abraham Lincoln when I hear that process so many times over and over again. Never made it, never made it, never made it. Did he feel like he's a failure or think he's a failure? Who knows? Maybe so. But the reality is there is no failure. The only failure is stopping. The only failure is not looking for other options, not going back in to resolve. If you're doing something and it starts to not feel right or be right for you, stop it. Go back and resolve it, revisit it, look at it, take the action, persist, and move forward. The final word is prevail. If we follow our own counsel and do what is right for us, and we persist, and we have that tenacity and determination, because we know deep within us it is what we desire, then that spark of passion that so many people will say to me in my readings, Carol, where is that passion? That spark of passion is going to be rekindled, and then you will succeed at what you desire. In starting the process for 2010, the guide said, start with something simple, something that you could do in the morning. You could say, today I resolve that I am going to cut down on one cup of coffee. And then at the end of the day, look at how many cups of coffee you had. Mindfully, back in your mind, you will cut down one cup of coffee. If you didn't, then the next day, go in and have the same result. Don't go in a different direction. Today, I will stop one cup of coffee. Check it at the end of the day. If you weren't able to, look at the day. Go back and resolve. Was there extra stress? Were you hungry? Were you using coffee rather than eating foods that would be able to sustain your energy? Were you looking for the caffeine? Revisit it. And then the next day, resolve. Today, I am going to stop one more cup of coffee. And then what you'll do is all of a sudden, voila, it will be there. And that's what they're saying. We always are tackling the big things. Dreams are a wonderful way for us to be able to do a lot of emotional release work and a lot of resolve, literally finality to things in our dreams. But in our humanness, we measure ourselves so critically on everything that we don't do rather than what we do, that your dreams will be very active for the next 30 days in particular. Pay attention to them. Nightmares may be active. Some people will say, well, it's because I had, you know, a big bowl of chocolate ice cream before bed. No, there's a lot of symbolism. So, prudent, persist, and prevail. Those are the code words. All right, let's jump in. Hi, Bernadette from Canada, line two. Hi, sweetie. Thanks for holding on so long. How can I help you?
Hi. The last 2 months, I have not had my regular period, mm-hmm. and I've gained about 10 pounds more than, you know, just quickly I've gained 10 pounds on top of another 10 that I've accumulated, and it's like, okay, it's time to stop. So
yes.
I went to my doctor, and I think he was in a hurry that day, and he... You know, I think it's probably hormone related, and he gave me something that's got some estradiol or whatever.
Estradiol?
Right. And uh-huh. some norethindrone. Does
okay.
that sound right? I'm
yep.
probably not saying it right.
That's okay. That's close enough. I'm picking up the vibration of it. That's
okay.
good.
Okay. So that's what he gave me. And I don't really like taking things.
Right.
I like to do things naturally if I can. But I'm like, okay, he was like super busy. I'm like, okay, this will just have to be for another day to discuss this. But
yeah.
I thought, well, I would ask you what you thought.
It is hormones. And where you are in the process of that transition time from having a regular menses to the change of the estrogen progesterone dynamics in your body, it is not uncommon for there to be weight gain. But I would like to share with every listener, and thank you, sweetie, for bringing this up. When we have sudden weight gain like that, we think that it's always body fat. When we go in and our body starts to change hormonally as females, one of the first things that we put on is actually water weight.
Oh.
And so while you suddenly put on 10 pounds, and if you look at, and I go in, Bernadette, you didn't, honey, all of a sudden start eating like this Viking that was eating, you know, full turkeys at a sitting and mm-hmm. all these different things.
Right.
You didn't change your diet that much. So my sense is a lot of what you're having is a lot of the water buildup, the same thing that a lot of women may get around their menses where their hands get puffy or their body gets puffy and so forth. So what we're doing is the water retention around that. That's the first part of the weight. The extra pounds that you had on before those 10 pounds, those were slow and methodical to show you that it was tied to the hormones itself. Mm-hmm. So one of the things you can do is you can increase your water. You might want to look and see if there's any way that there's a natural diuretic. One of the things I've found is that foods that are red in color, beets, cranberries, blueberries, all of those, anything that has a red natural color to it, tends to be a natural diuretic. And so what you might want to do is you might want to explore some food options that you have to be able to help you with some of the water retention. The next part of it is that Dr. Christy Ann Northrup has a wonderful book called The Wisdom of Menopause. If you haven't read it, I would encourage you to do that, and all the listeners, excuse me, that are at that wonderful stage in their life, because what it'll do is it will say to you, when you start changing your hormones, the pituitary and thyroid are really good friends. And the minute that the pituitary starts becoming erratic in its estrogen progesterone dynamics, the release, the secretion of it, and then the cycling of it, then it can throw the thyroid off. And then all of a sudden we can be really tired. And then we feel like we stuck our finger in a 220 light socket and it's just bouncing around. The thyroid is responsible for metabolism. And so if the thyroid is again bouncing around, it doesn't mean that someone has a thyroid problem. But what it can mean is the thyroid, the metabolism is changing. Your body isn't oxidizing glucose the way it needs. So then we start getting the cravings. The cravings, sometimes we eat salt because that's one of the cravings. We retain water. So what you can do is drink water, watch your salt intake. What you might want to do is find yourself a naturopath, someone that you can work with. You might want to look at some potassium. That's another thing that's the dynamics, potassium, magnesium. When we first start the change, see where you are there. You might want to include those things. The estradiol and the other medication you have, sweetie, hold on to them. Give yourself the time to try the different things. If you're not comfortable in your skin and you can't seem to get a handle on it, then what you might want to do is try a very, very slight amount of the prescription just to see if you can feel anything different. If you don't, then you can stop it. Mm-hmm. The one nice thing about the medication that the medication that he offered to you is that they aren't something that once you start them, you've got to stay with them the rest of your life. You could go in, and if it works for you and you want to try something else, then you can go to a health food store and look for some of the natural things that that they have over the counter. Estradiol overall is a very, very body friendly prescription.
Oh, okay.
And it doesn't go in and kind of like the Premarin that a lot of women would take. Sometimes even people who do it bioidentical hormones, the first few weeks that they do that, oh my gosh, they're all over everywhere, plant-based. But the estradiol itself is something that is very user-friendly. And if it gets to a place, sweetie, where you hit that place, it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Try it.
Okay.
And then if it doesn't give you what you're looking for, and the nice thing, Bernadette, about your body that I can feel is, honey, your body's going to tell you within 12 to 24 hours whether things work or not. You can put something in your stomach and 4 hours later know that you shouldn't have done that.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
It is. It is so sophisticated of a Geiger counter, and like that pendulum and that, you know, balancing process. And the other thing that your body just said to me is, if you're concerned as to whether to take it, put the estradiol, only one medication time, put it in your pocket and walk around for, you know, 30 minutes or an hour. Yep. See, do you have any energy?
Right.
If you have energy, woo, it's working. Become your own muscle testing bean,
right,
and that can work with you that way. And then don't do the next one. Give yourself at least 12, 24 hours. Let your body restabilize, especially if it feels like it drains you of energy, and then try the other medication. There's so many great things that are being found out that you can do that are natural that can help you. But even being natural, it takes us a while to figure out what works and what doesn't work for us.
Yeah, I know he said that... He said, if you don't like this stuff, he said, if you don't take it for 24 hours, it's out of your system.
Yes, it is. That is accurate. That is accurate.
Okay.
Even though he may have been in a hurry, that is accurate. Again, it's not, it isn't something that, and he is in a hurry. I don't know. You know, I just kind of touch you and it's like, whoa, man, has he got a lot going on in his life?
Yeah,
but I'll leave that for another day.
Yeah, it was totally. And usually he's not like that. And I.
Yeah.
You know, like him a lot, but
he's very skilled. He really feels to me very holistically minded, meaning that he does realize that if you connect the dots between the pituitary, you're going to finally probably find something with the ovaries, and whoop, there's that thyroid. So he does have that. He just feels like where he is in his cycle, he's busy, but he is absolutely accurate from the standpoint that it will not cause harm, and it is something that your body can eliminate in a timely fashion to where it doesn't have a lot of the residual of some of the other things we used to use.
So you drink water to get rid of water retention?
You bet.
You bet.
And what you do is it flushes out the kidneys and it flushes out the dynamics of the sodium, again, trying to retain fluid and everything. So what you don't want is you don't want to do a lot. I mean, don't sit down and drink, you know, 15 glasses of water
right.
at a time, but just sip water. Absolutely. And what it does is it flushes out the body of all the toxins. It's good for the liver. It's good for the immune system, and it's great for the kidneys. And what you do, and it isn't unusual, you can Google it on weight loss and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things they'll tell you and that is to increase your water consumption, and what you'll do is you'll start to lose that water retention. Of course, potassium and some of the other things, magnesium, all of those things are good for water retention to be able to eliminate. And then, like I said, one of the best things that I've heard, an integrative medicine doctor that I have actually worked with clients that he sent to me, one of the best things that he suggests in water retention is watermelon.
Oh, okay, yes.
And there's watermelon seed tea, if you can find it at a good Chinese herbal place. There's a lot of things for us to be able to try. But my sense is, because it came on so quick, probably, sweetie, if I went in, I would say a good 6 pounds of what you're talking about is probably water retention.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for calling me. What a pleasure. And
thank you for your information.
My pleasure. Okay, so let's go in and let's go to, is it... Marnie, is that how you pronounce it, from Massachusetts? Hi.
Hi, Carol. It is Marnie.
Oh, hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Thanks so much for taking my call. I actually have, it feels like, chronic shoulder and arm pain and neck pain. It feels like it feels like my whole right side is out of balance.
And I also
am really exhausted, so I was just curious if you would be able to give me some insight on that.
Yeah, the exhaustion is that you're just trying to always kind of be upright in your body. When I go in, I can feel your right shoulder dipped and your left hip up. So it's creating a torquing in your body, skeletally and muscularly. And when I go in and I touch that right side, the first thing, when you said it was the right side, it says, here is a being who puts herself out there. She's a being who wants to be in this physical world. She wants to make a difference in this world. She wants to be able to interact with people. and you really enjoy the experience of life itself and really being out there. But being out there, you don't feel like you're skeletally or muscularly very big. And being out there takes a lot of energy. Sometimes you feel like you attract people that just kind of want to come up and they want to know what you have. It's kind of like when Sally met Harry. It's like, whoa, I want what she's having. There's a charge about you, an essence about you, sweetie, that just attracts people to you. And in your lovingness, you just want to be able to give and give and give and give, and you go into your reserves. And when you go into your reserves, then it just starts draining your body of the energy that it needs. So the first thing is your soul saying, pull back, pull back. Create quiet time for you. Be able to go in and do the things that are important. You've got something inside that's really bubbling to the surface that's very creative that you want to bring into expression. You feel like a teacher archetype to me. And what you want to do is you just want to share some of the things that you know, this inner wisdom, with those who are ready to hear it. So that's something that's kind of bubbling to the surface. When I actually go in your physical body, sweetie, I can find some residual of a little bit of osteoarthritis from an injury that you had. My sense is that you fail a couple times. It almost feels like you fell on your tailbone. And what that did is it caused your tailbone to tuck up underneath your bottom, and that caused a little bit of distortion in the hips itself, the curve of your lumbar. And then your cervical spine is always trying to take care of what happened below in that lower area. And so what it is that in order for your muscles to do that, because your tailbone tucks under the coccyx, is that you push your little bottom out, you cave your center back in, you push about your shoulder blades to your neck, protrude it toward the back, and then push your head forward. And that's what you're working with. And what can help is myofascial release could help. Reflexology, that's something I normally, it's a wonderful modality, doesn't always come through, but reflexology would be able to help you. Also, general massage, you might want to look at doing some physical therapy. I would sometimes say yoga, but I'm not picking up yoga because we don't want to hyperextend anything. You could use some heat, some cold. You might want to look for some Trameel, T-R-A-M-E-E-L. Again, for anybody listening, I don't get any kind of residual for anything that I talk about. It's mostly working with practitioners. It is a homeopathic remedy that can help bring the inflammation out of the muscles itself. That's what we're really working with, is a chronic inflammation. Your body, when you get out of alignment, your muscles become irritated and fight each other, and then they get inflammation build up in them, and then that's what's creating a lot of the discomfort that you have.
Great, thank you.
You are welcome. Sweetie, do you do baths? Do you like to take baths?
I do.
Okay. What I would encourage you to do is, why don't you look at doing Epsom salt baths? Lay mm-hmm. down and let the salt actually pull some of the toxins out through your skin. And then also you might want to talk to someone about doing mustard baths. And I think it would pull a lot of the inflammation that you have out of you. And then see if you can work with someone that can do some myofascial release. I keep coming back to that modality specifically with you, that doesn't necessarily pull anything. They just allow the muscles to be able to relax and to release the toxins that's in them. I feel like that would help you a lot.
Okay, great. I actually have an acupuncture appointment tonight.
Perfect. And when you're with the acupuncturist, ask them if they know of anybody that does myofascial release.
Okay.
And then that can go from there. Good job. Good job. Thank you very much. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining me today. So remember, 2010 is all about 2010. Don't do it again. It's all about being prudent, being wise, being cautious, being careful, following your own inner counsel. It's all about being persistent. If you know it is right for you, stay with it. If it doesn't seem like it's happening as quickly as maybe your mind wants to, don't necessarily give up on it and stop it. Go back and resolve it. Go back and revisit it and see, does it just need to be looked at differently? Is there another option? And then persist, and then you will prevail. Again, if you're interested in receiving this channeling via email, please go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Go on my homepage, click on contact, and then fill out the form. And then as soon as I can get this up and posted, I will be sure that you will get that channeling. And I do encourage you, even though it is copyright, what I'm saying is please don't sell it, but share it with anyone that you think that it might be of value. Thank you so much for all of the callers, all of you listening today. Light and love with you as we go through 2010, the year of resolve. Light and love. I'll see you next Wednesday on the radio. I'm Carol Reitberger.
You've been listening to The Carol Reitberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.